How many of you recognize at least part of this little simple drawing? How many of you recognize? One, two, three, oh, almost half. Okay, that's good. Yeah. That's part of what I'm going to talk about tonight. Some, I suppose, kind of simple things, and yet, if you want to turn to hopefully you can kind of follow me, and you probably can faster than I can because I have a new Bible, and I didn't have time to get tabs. So I got to hunt my scripture like you probably will too. We're going to, Lord willing, be looking at a number of scriptures. But 1 Corinthians 2:14, I didn't say what it was. I was waiting for you to turn to it, and I didn't tell you what it was. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Says, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised or examined. It says, did you notice he cannot understand them? We as, I hope, in a fundamental church get used to the plain and simple things of God, and we think they're so easy. But an unsaved person, unless he's been in a church and knows them by just memorization or hearing them often, he doesn't understand what they mean. And it says it's because they are spiritually discerned. I'm not going to go through the story. I've told it before here quite some time ago, I think, but I ran across a young man once that kept saying, would you go over that again? And I thought I was explaining it in a real simple way, but he couldn't understand it. And that brought it home to me that an unsaved person does not understand things that we think are simple things from the Bible. And I want to go through a few things tonight about, I'll call it witnessing, leading to someone to Christ. I won't ask how many have ever followed through all the steps, whatever they are, and led someone to the Lord, but it's not easy. And it's not real common. And every person you deal with is a little different. And sometimes things we think will work, don't work. Got to be open to what their problem is, maybe. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you tonight thanking you for many things. Thank you that you have control of the weather. It's a nice day today. And we thank you that you've given us freedom to be here, given us air to breathe. And as someone prayed not long ago, woke us up this morning, we just thank you for our church family and our other families. Help us to be diligent and open to people's needs, that we might be able to pray, and we might not misunderstand things. We need your wisdom in all things that we do, because we want to do them in your ways and spiritual ways, and so we need help. We need your guidance. Bless tonight as we look into maybe some simple things that might encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to go through I think learning how to lead someone to Christ helps us in our own encouragement and understanding of God. And I find myself, if we have time, and I think we will get to this last part, which is my method. I put my things together. They're scripture, but I didn't use the Romans Road or the bridge or something like that. And I find that I forget. I don't have it memorized well enough that many times I'd forget a step or miss something if I unexpectedly come across the need to use it. And I was going over it tonight, which I hadn't been over it for a while, and I have to admit that I don't think, without looking at my steps, that I could have remembered all of them in a row in the right order. Maybe there isn't a right order, I don't know. So I wanted to go over a few things. Probably the most common steps that people use is the Romans Road. How many of you have heard of it, the Romans Road? Well, almost everybody, maybe everybody. Well, that's good. It's simple verses from I guess it's between about seven chapters. Romans 3:23, the wages of sin is, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I like to point out to people that we're not short of our neighbor's spirituality. We're short of God's glory. And God is such a holy God that if we're short of it, we have failed. In just a little bitty sin or a great big sin or no matter what, we're short of the glory of God. And then Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Because we're sinners, we deserve death. And you can talk about that for a while and show people from Revelation 20, I believe it is, 14, that there's a second death, and that's a serious thing. And you can use little things, catchy things, like if you're saved, you die once, and you're born twice and die once. But if you're not saved, you are born once and die twice. You've probably heard that. It's not a bad thing to talk about, but it's just little things that might catch someone's attention. Then Romans 5:8, which is God commend, is that it? God hath commended his glory, his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So you get the step that Christ died for us. And then Romans 10:9-10, that tells us about the confession and the belief, and the confession with the mouth and the belief in the heart. And just not long ago, the subject come up in one of our services that Satan believes that there's a God, but he doesn't believe in God. He doesn't believe toward God. He's not inside of God, or God is not inside of him. And there's a lot of difference in intellectual belief that God exists versus wanting God in your life to be your Lord, which is part of Romans 10:9-10. And I think that's the Romans Road, right? Is there another verse that I missed? Anyway, very simple, I think, but a good way to present the gospel. And I would encourage every one of you to learn a process of giving the gospel. Whether it's someone else's that you like, that's not wrong to use the Romans Road, which many people have used, and it's, I don't know whose idea it was to call it that or where it came from originally, probably long, long ago. But learn something. Choose something. Make one yourself and memorize it. That doesn't mean you have to use it every time, that particular one. But it will help you as well as it may lead someone toward the Lord. And that's what we want to do. Is it difficult to do? The Romans Road shouldn't be real difficult, but it takes some time if you've never learned the verses before. It's worth it if you ever have a chance to talk to someone about the Lord and you have some steps to follow. And it's really worth it if that person will accept Christ because of what you've done. Always remember that you are just the beginning, could be just the beginning step of a person coming to Christ. Something you said, a verse that you used, might stick with him for years. You don't know. And he might turn to Christ later on. But it is an advantage to know a method, some verses. Do you have to memorize them? No, you don't have to. The next best thing would be know where the references are so you can point to them in the Bible and let someone else read them. That's always good if they will do that. I have a story that I tell many times, so if you've heard it, forgive me. Had a young man once. He didn't know much about the Bible, but he knew one verse. And he says, well, the Bible says to eat, drink, and be merry. And you know what I realized right when he said that? That the night before, somehow something happened. I don't remember now what it was, but I had come across that verse, and I knew the next verse after that. I already knew it. And if you don't know it... It gets to be funny. And I asked him, do you know what it says right after that verse? Eat, drink, and be merry. And no, he didn't know. And I said, God says, thou fool. And some other things that, that's how it starts, I think. But people don't know simple things about the Bible. And they are confused about truth. I want to go through another. These first three that I'll be talking about, I learned them long ago. I learned of them long ago. I'm talking about 40, 50 years ago. One of them is about the word truth. And it'll take some time to look at these verses, but I'd like for you to follow them and look them up yourself so you can read them. The word of God is truth, John 17:17. And that's a real simple one, let's... It's always good, I say, that you look in your own Bible to find things and look at them yourself. And that would mean also that when you're dealing with someone, it's good to show them in their own Bible so they can see it themselves. John 17:17 says, whoop, I'm not there. sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We're talking about the word truth. This is a system of verses that you can deal with a person to lead them to the Lord. And every verse has, from the King James Version, has the word truth in it. Some of the versions may not have that word in it, but the meaning is there. I can't help it, I'm sorry. I get into versions and I get real adamant. There's only, I'll name two of them that I believe are good, and the King James is good and the New American Standard is good. But I'll say a couple that are not good, and that's the Living Bible, an old rendition of scripture that originally it called itself a paraphrase, and now I don't think it does. And the NIV. Some good men have used, I'm talking about men teaching Greek. I knew one that used it. And I say it's not good. It has a different philosophy of translation. My wife helps me with words all the time. I lose words. A different philosophy of translation. I'm on a rabbit trail, but I'm going to end it pretty soon. It's called dynamic equivalence. It sounds kind of important and good. But basically, it's the philosophy that words are not as important as thoughts. If the thought you get across is what's important. And my question then immediately comes, how do you get a thought without words? So think about that. When you talk to somebody, do you talk to them by thoughts? You talk to them by words. And so the very statement, the thought, if you get the right thought across, the words are not important, doesn't even make sense. Okay, I'll quit on that. Truth. Back to the word. The word is truth. I'm going to go through one, two, three, four, five steps here. The word is truth. The truth about sin, the truth about judgment, the truth about Christ, and the truth about assurance. Not insurance, assurance. I'll be going through them, but the word is truth, and then the truth about sin, judgment, Christ, and assurance. The word being truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. And many of you have that memorized, but when I'm up in front, I never remember the first word. If I get the first word going, I can usually make it. What did I say? 2 Timothy 2:15. I think I'm on the right one. This Bible tells me chapters in a different way than my other Bible did. I think this is right. Be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. The word truth. then the truth about sin. 1 John 1:8-10. 1 John 1, 8 and 10. And this is the truth about sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I said 10, not 9, 8 and 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. The truth is not in us. I believe King James says. Then the truth about judgment. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. Thessalonians 2, 10 and 12. Now this is about judgment. And with all the deception and unrighteousness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. And verse 12, in order that they may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in unrighteousness. We're living in a day where people talk about truth or pretend to be saying the truth, but the Bible claims to be the truth, and it is the truth. It's not just a random statement in the Bible. And the truth about Christ, I got several verses on several of these, and I think I'll just hit the one or we'll run out of time. The truth about Christ is John 14, 6, one of the places. And John 14, 6 says, I am the way, Christ talking there, I am the way, the truth, and the righteousness. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Excuse me. My wife's head popped like this, and I knew I said something wrong. And then the truth about assurance, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Ephesians 1. One, 13 and 14. In him you also, after listening to the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance unto the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. So, the word of truth is the gospel of our salvation, and we're sealed in him. So that's a group about the truth. Now I'm going to get to this little drawing. It's real simple. And what we have here, what this is, for those of you that maybe haven't seen it, we got a person over here, and he's got a question mark above his head, and this symbol here is God. It's a triangle indicating the triune God. And there's a chasm here that's extremely deep, and he can't get to God. That's his predicament right now. The bridge. We're separated from God. Isaiah 59:2. Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God." So you're separated from God. The results of the separation, 2 Thessalonians 1. Second Thessalonians 1:8-9. This is the results of the separation. Executing vengeance on those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. They are away from God, indicating that on that little drawing, He's away from God. Now, Christ brings us to God in 1 Peter 3:18. 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, so that He might bring you to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." Now, I think this little drawing would be good if you have an opportunity to have a piece of paper when you're talking to someone and show on paper here. Otherwise, you know, if you don't have the drawing, it's just not as good a way to present the gospel, I think. And what you do when you get to, what was it, 1 Peter 1:18? 3:18. Which tells us Christ brings us to God. You put a cross in there. And, yeah, it's kind of a crude thing, but now he can hop across and get to God. Not that we hop across by Christ. And then all people don't get to God. 1 John 5:12. And that's quite a dilemma. I mean, you might think, well, everybody can get to God, can't they, if they read their Bible? Not really. First John 5:12, "He who has the Son has the life. He who has does not have the Son of God does not have the life." So if the Son of God is not where you can get to God, then you don't have life. And we don't have to look these up. Our choice then on this bridge is to call. And Romans 10:13 just says, "Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you're writing scripture down, I may give you a hint right now. I'm looking off of my notes, and there's a copy of my notes on the back bench. So if you want them, you can have them. Somebody already got one? Yeah, okay. Oh, I didn't know that. I intentionally didn't tell you till partway through. I wanted to make you work. I really did. If you work yourself, you remember it better than if you just look at someone else's stuff. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." My version. Pretty close. I don't understand that clock. Is that clock correct? Does anybody know?
It's always running way too fast.
Okay. Well, I keep looking at it, and I think my problem is, because of my age, I forget what I saw the last time I looked, so I don't remember. You young people are laughing. You wait. I use a combination of verses, and part of them are good number of them are what we've already looked at. I always want to ask a person if they know what a Bible is. We're getting to the point in our society where some people may not even know what a Bible is. Didn't used to be that way. 50 years ago, I don't think me or other people around this area would even think about a person not knowing what a Bible is. But just the other day, I think it was Pastor Ernstberger, I think it was him that said he went into a young man's home, am I remembering right? And he asked if he had a Bible, and the guy didn't know for sure. He didn't know for sure if he had one. That would have been real unusual 50 or 60 years ago. But now, you never know. Anyway, I like to show them that the Bible claims to be inspired, and indicate to them that the Bible is inspired by God and there's no mistakes in it. And I use 1 Corinthians 3:16. All scripture is inspired by the word of God. And then I go to all have come short of God, Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then Romans 6:23 I use, the wages and the gift, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And if I think it's necessary, I might explain the difference of what death is and go to Revelation 20, 13 and 14 and 15, that there's a second death and people will be cast into the lake of fire. And when I do this about the free gift of God, I just pick up anything, and it would usually be a pencil, and I will say, I have a gift here for you. Would you like it? And you don't know what they're going to say, and say, yeah, or I don't care, or whatever. What if you liked it? Well, I have a gift for you. What would you do if you want this gift? And they have to say, well, I would take it. I would accept it. And I use that to take the Word of God, take the Christ that's offered, the gift that's offered for yourself. You need to take it. And then Romans 1:12, I can't think of it. You're not talking loud enough. Romans 1:12. No. John 1:12. I'll never find it by looking in Romans, will I? John 1:12, as many as received him, using that idea of the gift and receiving. You have to receive the gift or you don't get it. God can offer the gift for a long time, but if you don't take it, you don't ever get it. And that's what the reference in 1:12 is saying. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. And that word, that little word even, is not in the Greek text. And I cross that out and I equate that to the children of God, to gave the right to become the children of God to those that believe in his name. It's equating believing in his name to becoming the children of God. Same thing. Then I explain, well, how do you receive Christ? I go to Romans 10, 9 and 10 and 13 about the confessing and believing and calling upon God. Pray to God. As you have confessed your sin and you believe in your heart, then you call upon God with your mouth. Then I go to assurance verses of, and let's look those up, 1 John 5:11 to 15. 1 John 5. We were there before, but we didn't go through all of the the next verse. Five, 11 to 15, the assurance. And the witness is this, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And ask them if they understood that, if they just prayed to get saved. Do you realize that God gave you eternal life? And life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Do you have the Son of God? It says if you do, you have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So that's in the beginning how you know we have eternal life. And we can go on. And this is the confidence we have before him, that if we have ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, we have whatever we ask. We know that we have the request that we have asked from him. And then lastly, I go to 2 Peter 3:9. Just back up a little ways. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some consider slowness, but is patient toward you, not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God wants you personally to come to repentance because he doesn't want you to perish. He has given you an opportunity just now to hear the word of God and confess and believe and call upon his name. If they haven't done it yet, the next step is probably the hardest step in when you're dealing with a person. Would you like to do that? Don't forget that. If they haven't done it, would you like to do that? God wants you to. Okay, that's various methods that are available, and I'm sure there are more. Do you have questions about any one of these or something else you may have heard? I did not know whether I'd have time or not. I didn't go through what when you're intending to lead someone to Christ, what to take with you. If you can, take another person. Take a pen and a piece of paper. Take your Bible. And if they will, they seem open to you praying, pray in front of them. But some people you might not feel free to do that at that time. But if they'd get saved, you can sure pray afterward and thank the Lord. And if they meant it, they will appreciate it too. Questions or comments? I encourage you again to two things, actually. Back up a little bit. Two things. Have a method in mind to lead someone to Christ and go over it and over it and over it. And I forgot the second one. I thought it was important, but I can't think of it now. That's good. Pray for opportunity. That wasn't what I was thinking of, but that's good. That's always good. We were to pray for opportunity and boldness, aren't we? Boldness is, for some reason, difficult. It's hard to get started, and then it's hard to get to the end and say, would you like to do that? Both of them are difficult. And it's because that's the crux of the matter, and Satan doesn't want you doing that. I haven't thought of a second thing. I thought if I rambled enough, I'd think of it. No questions or comments, okay? Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father God, we thank you so much for how you have given us the opportunity to lead someone to Christ. And you give us credit for it, even though you do the work. You open the heart, you give them the incentive to say, yes, I would like to do that. We can't make a person do it. We can't talk them into it. But you, through your Spirit, work in the heart, and we thank you. Thank you for the time we've had together tonight, and bless as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, John?
Yes. Wow.
So just pray for Brian and Lynn.
Let's do that. Father God, we just ask your healing hand upon our pastor and his wife, and that they might quickly get over this and might not be repercussions, and that they would be back with us even on this Wednesday and next Sunday. Lord, it's you who is the healer, whether it's through medicine or miracle. And so we just ask that you would bless, encourage them, give them special comfort from your word. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. I got one more comment. If one time I think was all, but I believe that the Spirit of, or I wasn't sure the Spirit of God was leading the person to do what they should do, and I tried to talk them out of praying. I said, you know that if you pray, you're going to have problems. You're going to lose some friends, probably. You're going to, it's not going to be an easy life. And if the Spirit of God is calling them to be saved, you can't talk them out of it.